So I hope we are getting a wake-up call. In Romans chapter 13, as we already have been reminded, that it's a wake-up call. Wake up. Wake up. The field of Moab was the last stop before they go into the land of Canaan. The time is far spent. We are almost there. We are almost there. And what the enemy is trying to do now is to put heavy loads on us to anchor us down here to earth. So he said, wake up. The night is far spent. Now, you have to put on the armor of light. And as we have heard already, it's very, very practical. Again, I'm not going to repeat what the brother have said in verse 13. How are you walking? How are you walking? How when those around you look at you? Because listen, a sleeping soldier is a dead soldier. You can't be sleeping. You have to be awake. The people around you, how do they see you in your attitude, in your behavior, in regard to these material things? Lot lived in there. He had everything. He was holding them with his two hands. His righteous soul was vast. But when he started bringing a testimony, they laughed at him. What, are you kidding me? Look at you. Talking about the world is going to end. Look at you. You're standing in line for 20 hours to get an iPhone, aren't you? What world is that going to end? You are living just like, what kind of walk, what kind of attitude that we have in verse 13? Because in verse 14, it tells us really what is that armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. His Lordship, His rights. That's what you have to be enclosed with. And that's on one side. The other side is, don't make any provision for the flesh. Because the enemy will try to make you stay in that field of Moab, get as much as you can, be it Og being, Sihon being, or Obanite, and never, ever, ever enter to the blessing that we have there. Wake up. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd just like to make a thought in the three occasions we are talking about. Whether we are taking Romans, whether we are taking 2 Corinthians, or whether we are taking Ephesians, there are three things that it will be well with us to take hold of. The first thing that the Romans, they were in danger almost to go to sleep. They were, Mr. Darby puts it, arousing from out of sleep. You know, somebody that's extremely tired, you know. They are almost at that stage of things. And the exhortation is, even for the soldier not to be in that stage of things. So we have to be awake. The danger became was in Ephesus, that awake thou sleepest. That we didn't do anything, we became so passive regarding things that we went to sleep. Spiritually, we're not caring about things. You know, let it happen what's going to happen. But you know what? God in judgment, because I want to just have this bridge to Corinthians. Corinthians, one of the sleeping that the Apostle Paul spoke of, is that because there is the armor of righteousness, when the saints will fail to do that which is right, for this cause there is many amongst you that are asleep. Brethren, let's be careful with these principles. Because they are very important that you and I, if we went into that condition of sleeping, we're going to miss a lot. You study it at your own leisure. When the disciples went to sleep, you can lose sight of the glory. And when you go to sleep, you might lose sight of the suffering of Christ, and so forth and so on. It just, we need to be awake so that we can be in tune with the mind of heaven. If I can make a slight difference between the armor of God and put on the Lord Jesus, is this
of light.
Is that the light we have heard, and it's good to give an example. So when the Spirit of God said, move in the wilderness, what was there? A pillar of fire to give them what? To give them light. Move on. The light is in connection with our walk. This is why we say, let us walk therefore. But you know, when you find out in the journey, you start feeling that, oh man, I still have fleshly activity. I still think of this lust. And I still think of this, and I still desire this, and I still sometimes like Sihon and Og. It is good to read it from the other translation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
What happened to us, especially young ones, let's face it, we become so much occupied that with all the conflict that's going in within me, that I lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, put on the Lord Jesus. The more and more I'll be like the Lord Jesus, the less and less I'm going to think of these things that are going to be a hindrance for me in the wilderness. So the Lord give us the help, the ability to be on guard, always watchful, and brethren, when we go to Corinthians, to have this armor of righteousness. The believer is expected to do that which is right in a world that is full of unrighteousness. There is no excuse for us. Sometimes we like to find excuses that why we are doing the same thing the people of this world are doing. Why am I doing this with my money? Why am I doing this with this? Why am I not switching my taxes differently? We try to justify ourselves. And brethren, let's be very practical. That armor of righteousness is an encouragement for all of us, even though material stuff. But we have to do that which is right in the sight of God. And we have to have both of them, the armor of light and the armor of righteousness together.
The battle in Romans is different than the battle in Ephesians. The armor in Romans is different than the armor in Ephesians. It's interesting to see, too, that Romans, I should say the second half of Romans, really answers to really the plains of Moab. They're not in full possession of the land. They're on the borders of it. And so what Romans brings before us is not us being seated in the heavenlies, but it has to do with our victory, our walk on the earth. Well, of course, the first chapters of Romans, chapter 1 up to chapter 5, verse 11, deals with justification. But that's really back in Egypt, you know, the blood on the doorposts, the Red Sea. But now this is, we're in the world, we're saved. But how do we walk? How do we have victory? There are spiritual enemies that we have to battle against. That comes out in Ephesians. But here in Romans is the, as we were saying, the armor of light. And Brother John, you mentioned not to make provision for the flesh here in verse 14. The word there is pronoia. The Greek word is pronoia, not paranoia. That's a different... We could be paranoid, you know, but it's pronoia. That's to think in advance, to have the thought in advance, to make plans for how to satisfy the flesh. If you're on that path, you're on the downgrade. And so we have to put on the whole armor of God. And just a little word in connection with this verse of 11, that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That's the only verse in the Bible that you'll read that's always truer every time you read it. Right? And brethren, if there's any time when the Lord's coming was near, it is now. It's nearer than when we first believed.
Just a word about Romans to follow what Brian said. There are more new truths in Romans than any other book in the Bible. In any other book in the Bible, there's justification, there's sanctification, there's reconciliation, there's the truth of Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. There's a God's righteousness, there's the judgment of God, there's the adoption, there's sonship. You could just go on. There are more new truths in Romans than any other book in the Bible. So if you don't have Romans, you don't have it. Got to get that. And then the latter part, as you say, is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and making no provision for the flesh.
Just a quick note.
Don't get Romans, young people.
I'm sorry. Just in verse 14, perhaps some help. We are all familiar with the verse in Galatians that Christ is living in me. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we understand this, you know, somewhat, of course, it's a very abstract thing, but we believe it. And this verse, I believe, talks of the outward, because it's put ye on. So if we have Christ within us, dealing with what's within, the putting on must guard us from without. But it's a very wonderful phrase, to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What exactly does that mean? And perhaps to help, it reminded me of Elisha when the child was dead. He placed his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands. Everything about that child was transferred to Elisha. So Elisha was able to impart life to the child through God. So very similarly, everything about us has now been identified with Christ. So everything we touch, everywhere we walk, everything we see, everything we hear, if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no longer us, it's Him. And that's how you can make no provision for flesh and all of that sort of thing. That's how we can successfully walk with the armor of light and the armor of righteousness.
And that's actually how the kings of Midian, when Gideon asked them, you know, they said, every one of them looked like you, like a king. And that's what ought to be displayed in us, that when people look at us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ, the characteristic of the Lord Jesus as He walked here in the sea. So I hope we were sitting in attention, because it's a boot camp. We are learning how to handle the armors, what kind of enemies that we have, how we're going to overcome them. And I have to say, though it is material things, it is most difficult for the believer to live here in this scene and not to be attached to the world and all what it's offered. We have seen the spirit of Og. We have seen the spirit of Sihon. We have seen what is the right way to inherit that land. And we have seen what provision, equipment, armors that we have to fight on as we are walking here in this scene. That brings us to the conclusion of this Bible reading.